This is issue 13 of All Access Nerds. I'm Nick, and in this issue, you're going to learn about new comic books that we've read over the last couple weeks, Game of Thrones season finale, Ryan has high hopes for a new laptop, and Juno, it's not just email anymore. This is issue number 13 of All Access Nerds. I'm Nick.
And I'm Ryan.
And thank you for tuning in again. We've made it 13 episodes. It's a baker's dozen. Since a baker's dozen, you know what a baker's dozen comes from?
I'll chefs?
Say, too late. Yeah, you're close. Yeah, okay. It is. Baker's dozen, baker always fixed one for himself.
Ah.
So, in lieu of that, baker's dozen, I decided that I think we should tell the listeners a little bit about us.
Okay.
So, of course, my name's Nick, as you've already guessed or heard. I did have a comic book shop for a while here in Indiana. Had it for about a year and a half, and this town I lived in just really couldn't support it. So, I ended up having to close it up. Ryan and I have known each other for many, many, many years. We've been fortunate enough to have some common interests.
Yes.
So, and that's all I'll say for now about myself. Ryan?
Well, as you guys can know, my name's Ryan. Been around comic books for almost my entire life, mainly DC Comics. Some Marvel here and there, but for me, it all pretty much stemmed from the show Justice League Unlimited. Just seeing the awesome characters that DC Comics has. And they kind of branched out there to right on the time of Black Knight, Brightest Day, and just kept going on from there. There's some Marvel stuff here and there that I like, but, you know, I'll definitely keep an open mind typically with them. Overall, just DC. Superman, of course, being number one for me.
Yeah, Marvel was my choice of books at the comic store.
Yeah.
I think it's because when I first got into comics, I was in high school. I'd seen a couple in elementary school and middle school. I never really paid much attention to it. Some guys I hung around with, one of my classes, were into comics. I moved to this new school and happened to be in West Virginia. I'm originally from Dayton, Ohio myself. Mm. And we moved to West Virginia. Very beautiful area. Very slow, laid back setting sometimes. Two of the guys in this one class collected comic books. One of them was named Woody. The other name was James. James and Woody were good friends. Well, I had class with Woody, and James was Woody's friend. And then so I hung out with Woody, and Woody hung out with James. So three of us hung out together. Then eventually, Woody ended up going to a different school. So James and I hung out. We became best friends. And we used to collect comic books and talk about comic stuff all the time. So and they were Marvel. Mm-hmm. X-Men was my first real introduction into the Marvel Universe.
Yeah. And those are X-Men was top notch back then. You know, they're kind of meh right now, but especially back then in the 90s, they were just all over the place, and it was really well done.
And that was my taste of it, so I followed with the Marvel comics. So I guess we'll dive straight into comic books.
Yeah, absolutely.
You want to go first or me too?
Yeah, I can do it first.
All right, go ahead.
I got a few things. This week I went ahead and wrote down some notes about what I was reading. For me, with how my schedule's been, haven't been able to read so much, so it was more of a catch-up. These may, and probably definitely, did not all come from this week.
Well, I'll tell you straight up, not to interrupt you, why I did interrupt you. I did not go to the comic shop this week. I looked online, didn't see anything I wanted.
Okay.
What one or two books are going to hold for me, I'll pick up next week. But I didn't buy anything. The ones I've got are from the previous week.
Okay.
Go ahead, sorry.
So yeah, it's more of a catch-up right now. And I think a couple of these actually came out this week. But I did see that DC Comics, at least, they, for whatever reason, didn't have too much, like, Rebirth stuff come out. There was a couple here and there, but not as heavy as it has been before, or will be in the next coming weeks. For me, yeah, Justice League 51 was one of the ones I caught up on. So there's a crisis going on, some sort of weird weather thing, and there's, like, blimps teleporting in and out of place. Like, it's really strange chaos stuff. Just so happens that Batman brings in Robin for that time. He's like, we'll kind of bring you in, because things are going to be going, you know, pretty chaotic. So it can be good to have you here. All this stuff's going on, and Robin's like, okay, I'll come along and see what I can do. The entire Justice League is all questioning this, like, what was going on? Like, and they're busting his chops about it, kind of going to some spoilers. Nothing too big, really, for this one. It was kind of like a one-shot, which is cool, especially because it was after the Rebirth actually started. So it was a matter of, like, okay, what stories can we still do that might be relevant for the future after Rebirth? Well, there was a villain that was going on, that all this chaos going on. You couldn't really see who it was. He was some kind of like dark shadowy figure, but you didn't see what it was. But they did mention that he was going to be in Titans Rebirth, that it made a little note of, stay tuned in Titans Rebirth number 1 to find out more about it. And so Batman actually tells Dick Grayson at the end, which I didn't know which one it was at first. I figured it was Damian because they made some jokes about, you know, this Robin and him having a sidekick. Well, kind of find out it's actually Dick Grayson. Batman made some kind of remark that, you know, one day you will be leading the Justice League. So I wonder if that's going to be happening here after Rebirth, because they knew that going in, and they're kind of allowing the Justice League 51 and 52 to kind of still trickle into the Rebirth.
And that's currently Dick Grayson, you said? So that's, yes, Nightwing?
Yes. Yep, okay. Yeah, yeah. He was still in his Robin getup, because I guess it was actually 5 years after they first fought Darkseid. And it actually made a mention of, which is kind of cool, made a mention of the fact with that Darkseid fight, it was because of these chaos, this crisis that's going on right now, and that issue was because of that fight originally, because of the chaos that was going on, Darkseid, they had to do something, and because that was a ripple effect, and now this stuff has come to bite them in the butt. So it was overall pretty good. It was a nice one-shot, I would say, for sure. Could be leading into more with After Rebirth, so we'll see. So then after that was Justice League 52. I read them just in order. Why not? So we see Lex, and he still has a super suit after he got it from Apocalypse. So he's got that. Starts off, he's in the Daily Planet. There's actually Superman's cape right there, being in like a glass case, because they're showing honor to him, because, as you guys know, Superman died recently, the new 52 Superman. And I guess Lex hasn't known about the new Superman that's there. The fact that there is one still alive. So, and he goes into this whole thing about, you know, becoming a hero and making this choice. And even though he's not purely good, he still can do the right thing. And it's mainly because his sister. So his whole idea is, you know, when his sister comes out of this coma that she's in, he's going to go ahead and, you know, he's going to be the Superman so she can be proud of him and all this stuff. So it was okay. It was an okay one shot. Very, very heavy on Lex. So it's good to see the Lex that's going to be coming out of Rebirth, so we know kind of like what to, you know, be prepared for.
I don't trust him.
Yeah, it's very surprising. I think, at least to my knowledge, this is the longest Lex Luthor has been doing some kind of ruse, if it is. Because, I mean, it's been, goodness, a year or two that he's been a part of the Justice League, and he's been saving people and all that stuff, and changing up what he usually does, which is cool. So we'll see what happens, you know, if he does actually turn, you know, betray him all or something. I don't know. He's not the goody two-shoes, you know. There was some kind of attacker or thief or somebody, mugger, and he was about to kill him. And he's like, you have a Superman chest on. You can't kill me. I'm untouchable. And he's like, no, I still can, trust me. Actually, if I want to, I could just, you know, he said something. He said, like, paralyze you from the neck down, snap your neck. And then no one's going to be taking care of you, so you're going to be, what do you say, paralyzed and lonely and dying in your own filth because you're an attacker and a rapist and all this stuff. And so
it's pretty dark.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Dark. I like it.
Lex isn't, you know, the actual Superman that we see with the crest on all the time. So we'll see what happens after Rebirth. Should be interesting to see, you know, if he's still part of the Justice League or what he's actually doing. I know that he's going to be pretty heavy in the Action Comics, at least at first, with the... Yeah, so 957 onward was going to be part of the Rebirth stuff and onward. But yeah, so then on top of that, then I read Titans Rebirth, and it was focused on Wally, because the whole thing that he's back now, and he's trying to get the whole team, the Teen Titans, back to believe in him and remember him. Well, they don't, so they kind of fight him and whatnot. Finally, they remember after some kind of weird spark thing going
on. Actually, they don't fight. They attack him.
Yes, yeah, they attack him. Wally isn't really, like, defending himself in that matter. Yeah. He's more, like, just running away. But, yeah, so after the spark, some sort of Speed Force thing, it actually jogs their memory and lets them remember Wally after that. But the thing is, that was the main focus of it. I didn't see any other mention of a villain. They know that somebody is wiping their memory and all this stuff, and that this, what happened with Wally, like, they think there's somebody in charge of that and behind that and responsible. They really don't know who it is, because they named some, like, C-grade or D-grade villain, and like, it must be him. It's, nah, probably not. But that's all for me, at least for DC. I still have some more catching up to do, and next week will definitely be awesome, because there's a few more Rebirth stuff coming out with it being July. So I went on to Spider-Man, Red Spider-Man number 5. You start off and you see him captured by Black Cat and his first interaction with her. And I think his name's Hammerhead. Actually, what's interesting is that Black Cat actually saw Miles Morales without his mask. Both of them did. And they're like, huh, okay, well, he's just a little kid. And they're kind of even questioning it. Like, so the other one, the other Spider-Man has been giving us all this trouble. And they got this new kid and... I mean, is it even worth it to go after him? Like, you know, they were questioning that, which was interesting. But he fought them and got out of them. It was pretty cool. Okay issue. Nothing too crazy. Nothing too, you know, boring. So, decent issue, for sure. If you're reading Spider-Man, yeah, I would say keep reading 5. It does progress through the storyline. So, if you read 4, continue on with 5. It was good enough for me, at least, to read it. And then issue 6 of Spider-Man is actually going to be a Civil War 2 tie-in, which is cool. Speaking of Civil War 2, I read Civil War 2.
I haven't read that yet. I missed it.
Oh, yeah. I think it came out this week, I think, or the week before. Again, I was just buying all the stuff I hadn't caught up on yet, so I don't know exactly when it came out. Yeah, Civil War 2, I guess I don't want to go too much into it because that would kind of spoil
things. Yeah, go ahead.
Well,
I'll still read it.
Without going to spoilers, it's interesting to see how the X-Men, because I also read X-Men number 1, Civil War 2, because I wanted to know why do the X-Men care about Civil War? They really shouldn't. Like, it's a S.H.I.E.L.D. thing, and it's mainly messing with, you know, Carol and Tony Stark and all them, and the Inhumans. Well, because the fact of, it's like the X-Men are the old, kind of raggedy people, and then the Inhumans are like the new and improved ones. You know, because with the Targaryen myths, they're actually, like, kind of tearing or taking apart the mutants. You know, they're making them sterile, and they're even sometimes even killing them. So it's interesting to see that the mutants can even see that they're almost being irrelevant, which is also interesting with how the storylines are and how the fans feel, that it's not really too relevant. You know, the X-Men comics have been okay here and there, but nothing too phenomenal. And because I think that Marvel's trying to bring in the Inhumans, trying to make them bigger and better.
They're ramping up for the movie.
Yes, yeah.
The movie coming out.
Yep. Which got delayed, but yeah, eventually it'll come out. It's intriguing to see that whole thing play out with the Inhumans. So yeah, it was Civil War, issue number 2. It was good. I liked it a lot. It was decent. Could have more action, in my opinion, but I guess it's just ramping up for the future stuff that's going on. I wonder, because I don't know exactly how many issues it's going to be. I wonder if Marvel even knows how many issues it's going to be, the main storyline. But I would assume maybe 10 or 12 with just, like, this issue. If things keep going at this pace, it would have to be, yeah, like 10 or 12 issues. Because it's kind of slower, but it's more in-depth storyline, which is cool, especially with Tony. So, but, yeah. So, it's interesting to see. And then, yeah, at the end of Civil War number 2, it's a decent ending. It really is. It's actually hooked. It's got some good foreshadowing, especially because the kid can see the future. So it's pretty good foreshadowing of what's going to happen. And I liked how it ended. I can say that at least.
Really? Well, yeah. That's cool.
I don't want to spoil it for you because it's pretty good.
I'll still read it.
So, but yeah, that's all for me for comics. It was a lot. Just want to cover that base for you.
Okay, well, for me, The Flash, Rebirth, mm-hmm. issue number 1.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
Okay.
Good. Nice. Good. It kind of retold the whole Wally coming back into the Rebirth universe, if you will. It's kind of a retelling of it. That wasn't bad. Batman Detective Comics, issue number 935. So that was a good one. The team that Batman is assembling.
Mm-hmm. Batwoman?
Batwoman.
Yes. Cats or bats, one of them.
Batwoman is training them. So she's training pretty hard. I picked up Deathstroke number 19. I'm going to, it's one of the series I'm going to stop getting. Deathstroke.
Yeah.
Not impressed. Not impressed with that one or the next one, which is Harley Quinn number 29. It just, I don't know. It's just not for me. I meant to get them. I thought they were going to restart them. So I put them on my list to add to my list. Normally I just pick them up and if I'm looking at the cover, I'm like, yeah, okay, it looks like a good story. Mm-hmm. I never subscribe to them. So these two I'm going to cancel along with, I think we talked about before, the Green Arrow number 1, or Green Arrow Rebirth. I don't like it. Wonder Woman number 1, very good, very, very good. She goes to a jungle and she's searching for somebody to help her, wants them to help her get home. And it's, I'm not really familiar with the whole Wonder Woman series, but her arch villain.
Cheetah.
Cheetah, yeah. Okay. She wants Cheetah to help her.
Ah, cool.
You find out like the last couple pages, so spoiler.
Yeah.
Of course, Action Comics number 958. Superman and Superman Lex. Super Lex go to fighting Doom, so it's a decent story. And then this Superman, of course, is married to a Lois Lane, mm-hmm. and they have a child. And the child is watching this on TV. Mom, Lois turns it off. Kid says, I want to go help. She's like, no. He's like, no, I'm going. Takes off. Like, starts to flies.
Yeah.
So, he's just now learning to get his powers.
Okay.
His previous issue, it was 957. He, maybe it was the rebirth one. His cat gets picked up by a bird, and he gets angry at the bird, and shoots off some heat vision and fries really? Both the bird and the cat.
Oh, okay, I didn't see that one.
Killed the cat.
Oh, my goodness.
So, I'm not sure if that was the rebirth, or that was this one, but anyway, Aquaman number one. It's not bad. It has potential. I read issue number one here. It was good. I'll give it a couple more issues if it doesn't hold my interest, which it's barely holding on. And I'll cancel it. Now, I hold here in my hand Deadpool versus Gambit number one.
Okay.
If this wasn't sitting in a board and plastic bag that I have it in,
yeah.
I'd rip it in half.
Oh, no.
This book was awful.
Really?
The artwork sucked. The artwork inside was really bad.
Okay. I was trying to see if there's... There's a few people, I don't want to say names, because who knows how big this podcast is, but there's a couple artists that I'm like, I see them on the cover, and I'm like, crap. Okay, just get this over with.
So you, let me ask this, so you, if you see a name of an artist on a cover,
mm-hmm.
you base your decision on buying it, you have based your decision on buying that book?
Yes.
Based on the artist or the writer?
Yes, yeah, like if there's an artist or a writer, especially now, like when I first started comics, not really, like I didn't ever pay attention to that. But then with just getting around it more often and I know what kind of writing I like, what kind of storylines, and the art style that I like, it's kind of developed that a little bit, you know, where it's like, if there's something or a character I'm not interested in whatsoever, Grant Morrison's writing it, or one of the Kuberts, definitely if they're doing the art, definitely pick it up. What was another one? There's a couple out there that if they're doing the art on it, I'll check it out, even if I'm not that interested in the character. Batman, maybe. So yes. There are some times where that will allow me to make the decision whether or not I'm going to buy it or not.
Okay. Well, see, I used to be the way it was for me with John Byrne years ago.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
When he was doing Fantastic Four.
Okay.
I loved it. I loved his style. But getting back to this Deadpool versus Gambit, this storyline opens up with, and I'm going to spoil the heck, that's an H, out of this.
Uh-huh.
Deadpool and Gambit are in a coffee on the street in line to get some coffee at a coffee shop. And Gambit's or Deadpool's towards the back of the line. He looks up, he's like, "Hey, is that you, Gambit?" He's like, "Yeah." He's like, "We haven't seen each other since that Spider-Man Daredevil incident." And the readers are like, "What?"
Mm.
And then they tell the story where Spider-Man and Daredevil are fighting, and they fight through a city. I mean, they're fighting into buildings, through windows, through apartments, through stores, and then it ends up with they're done, you know, through a market, you know, a street market, and they're just fighting and tumbling and tearing up stuff, and then you see them sitting in a room together at a table with a bag of jewels and diamonds, and a guy in front like, "Good job," and they take their masks off like, "Yeah, it was pretty funny. We dressed up as Daredevil and Spider-Man and created all this chaos through the city, and they're gonna get blamed for it."
Hmm.
And then Spider-Man and Daredevil happen to be together, and people are yelling at them like, "Get away from us! You messed us up! You destroyed our market here, and you busted my storefront!" They're like, "What are you talking about? We're just here. We just got here." The story was awful.
Oh, goodness.
The artwork was awful. So if I could get my money back on this, I would.
Yeah.
I had to post. What I had to do is I had to photocopy this and post it to keep others from buying it. Because here, just read it. Don't buy it. So that was really bad.
I have to look at that. Now I'm intrigued to see just how bad it is.
You can have it. I won't let you read it. You can keep that one. I don't want it back. Now, I mentioned last issue number 12, when you were talking, and I got a little happy because of Vigilante was going to be on the Arrow.
Yes.
Well, I jumped online, and I went and bought his first appearance.
Yeah.
And I bought issue number one, CGC, signed. And they're hanging on my wall behind me.
Nice. Yeah, I thought I saw those. Those look pretty awesome.
I got one signed by George Perez,
mm-hmm.
and the other one is signed by Marv Wolfman.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Both two stellar dudes. I met George Perez, and I've heard a lot of good things about people meeting Marv Wolfman. But yeah, Awesome. That is really stinking cool.
Yeah, so I'm happy. I was very happy to see that. Speaking of comics, a couple things here. Mm-hmm. You mentioned to me before about the Marvel's Divided We Stand.
Yes, yes.
That's going to come out this fall.
Okay.
It's a tie-in after the Civil War II series.
Okay.
It's kind of like the fallout, if you will.
Yeah.
Because Marvel Comics is teased, and they do this with a lot of their story arcs, that things are going to be changed in the universe.
Yeah.
And a lot of times we find out that really not that much has changed.
Yeah.
But as we've already seen in Civil War II, Issue 1, James Rhodes is dead.
Yeah.
So that is something that they're not going to come back from.
Okay.
In fact, there's somebody else going to be taking over the cost over the War Machine armor.
Okay.
So this Divided We Stand is going to be another art story arc. They're not telling too much about it right now.
Okay.
Just that it's coming up this fall. There's a lot of junior heroes, as they call them, new heroes, who have had to step up their game, if you will, for the Civil War II.
Okay.
So people like Squirrel Girl.
Yeah.
You know, Miss Marvel, the new one.
Mm-hmm.
They're having to kind of step up and be more of a hero, make that decision. Where does what I do affect others? Am mm-hmm. I doing the right thing? Where, you know, do I make a difference? So consequently, there's kind of a split where the Divided We Stand, where it kind of falls in place. On one side, you've got the new War Machine.
Yeah.
And it's a woman.
Okay.
And I forget her name. So you got her, and you got Miss Marvel on her side. You got Doctor Strange, and I saw some other ones. And then on the other side, you've got Black Panther, Victor Von Doom, not in armor.
Oh, okay.
He's smiling. Apparently, since after the Secret Wars, the most recent one, he's kind of changed his ways.
Okay.
He's not trying to rule his country with an iron fist. He wants to help. So apparently he's helping out Tony Stark a little bit. In this picture, he's holding one of Iron Man's helmets. We don't know why. I guess it's something that's going to be coming along. It's kind of a, like I said, a fallout. Mentioning on the Doctor Strange side of the Divided We Stand, there's a new character called Mosaic.
Okay.
His first appearance is the Uncanny Inhumans issue number 11. This character, he was a basketball player who was kind of stuck on himself. I think it was the Targaryen Mist. I didn't read the whole all about it yet, but something changed in him. Being it's Inhuman, I think it was Targaryen Mist. He ends up having the power to go put his essence in somebody else.
Okay.
Okay, and basically take over their body. He retains their memories, all their physical attributes, nothing changes. Even, there's no way of telling, even if you're a telepath, you won't be able to tell that he's in there, unless he wants you to know. And he can't stay in there for very long. They haven't come out and said yet how often or how long or how short. They said in some issues, in October, he's coming out with his own series. For right now, we'll see him bounce around a few of the books, but they're starting to ramp him up a little bit, because they can, so he can be in his own comic book, stand on his own.
Mm-hmm.
So they said that in some issues, you'll see him bounce around to several different bodies. And then in others, you'll see him be in the same body for several books.
Okay.
So, and it depends on, he has to eat. He has to get nutrients, just like the person, that the body he's in. He has to eat, has to sleep, and he gets that. If he doesn't, he'll fade away. If he stays inside somebody too long, he'll get lost. He'll lose himself.
Hmm.
So, it's a new character. And if you haven't bought it yet, Uncanny Inhumans, issue number 11, is his first appearance. Strongly recommend that you run out and get a copy.
Yeah, because those could definitely spike up.
Yeah, especially if he's coming out with his own issue.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're Marvel, this is one of Marvel's characters they're really ramping up. They want to make something of. So, keep an eye out for that. That'll come out this fall. As for comic books, that's all that I have.
That's all I got as well.
Well, I guess we should talk about some TV shows now?
Yeah, why not? Moving into there.
What you got?
For me, not too much going on now because it's summertime. But the season finale of both Game of Thrones and Silicon Valley were last week. Watched them both. Loved them both, for sure. Did you watch Game of Thrones?
I watched Game of Thrones.
Okay.
I loved it.
Fans, it's been a minute, so we're going to spoil some stuff. We're going to talk about it because... Yeah, I'm sure if you're a fan, you've seen it by now. So, spoiler alert about Game of Thrones.
If you're not a fan, become a fan. You're missing out.
It's good, yeah. Yes, absolutely. For those of you who are not fans, it's not going to make any sense to you. But holy crap, Jon Snow is a Targaryen. I had suspected that. I heard rumors of it. There was, like, fan theories about it. And I even hoped for it, and then this week we found out, yeah, for sure, because the way you can tell with the events, and I talked to a few other Game of Thrones fans, and they're like, yes, that's exactly what it means. I'm freaking stoked about that, because I love Targaryens. They're pretty awesome overall. Like, we know, we got Daenerys Targaryen, and then now to know Jon Snow. I wonder how far that goes, because he's not purebred, you know, both his parents aren't Targaryen. I think it's just his dad is... Maybe his mom. One of his parents.
No, his mom would have been Ned Stark's sister.
Okay.
So his mom's a Stark.
Okay. And then, so his dad is the one. Yeah, because yeah. She actually got raped, you know, is shown in that episode. Because Bronn can, you know, now he can see the past. He can kind of time travel, which is pretty cool. So 2 weeks ago, we saw Bolton versus Jon Snow. That was rough, man. They said ahead of time that it's going to be brutal and it's going to be the longest, biggest battle that they've had. And those are definitely spot on for sure. Fantastic. It was interesting for me afterwards because at the end, spoiling some more stuff, Bolton, Ramsay Bolton, he actually got like shredded. Like he's got these dogs and he would torture people with them. Well, they went ahead and put him in his own dungeon so that the dogs can attack him. And they did, and they it was really brutal, really, really nasty. But I was so excited about it, and I'm like, this is not good. Like, I don't like that I'm this happy about it. But, man, was he such a dirtbag and just, like, scum of the earth. So, yeah, it was a relief to see that. And then we saw at the end of episode 10 of season 6, I think it is. What's her name? Cersei. Cersei blew up the entire church that they had, this big... cathedral, and killed off almost everybody, and then because of that, the king, her son, then jumps off the side of a building and kills himself. So then that led Cersei, she's now the queen on the Iron Throne. So it was like, this season finale was stinking huge, it was amazing. If you haven't seen it, go watch her now, because it was spectacular. There was a couple other things I'm trying to think of. Oh, yeah, Targaryen. She's finally moving over to Westeros. She's on her way. It's going to be awesome to see that.
Mm-hmm.
The Tyrells and... I'm trying to think of their names. It's the main family on Dorne, or from Dorne. But, yeah, they're teaming up now, so it should be interesting to see what happens there. It's not good for Cersei, I can tell that for sure. That's all I got for Game of Thrones. Do you have anything else to talk about?
Nope. It was an amazing, and I was overwhelmed when I watched it.
Yes, same here. Another show for me, also on HBO, was Silicon Valley. Fantastic show. If you haven't seen it, go watch it. It's hilarious. This episode, I think the one previously, has like kind of ramped up the emotional side of it and like, you know, kind of the drama with it. But it was fantastic. Like, you see... throughout Silicon Valley, this guy's trying to launch his startup business, his app and all this stuff. It progresses a little bit and then like 15 setbacks and then they overcome those setbacks and then there's one little progress and then it all falls through and it's great. It's fantastic. Well, you saw at the end where you're thinking that he's going to lose the entire business completely and you get bought out and not have anything to do with it. And he actually, his buddy ends up buying it, which is pretty stinking cool. Should be interesting to see how next season goes because... with him not being the boss of it anymore, it should be interesting to see how his friend is going to do it. You know, I'm sure he's going to be a part of it, but he's not going to have a lot more decision-making as he has in the past. Fantastic show, but I won't go too much into it because there's a lot more stuff to catch up on. It's about 5 seasons long, I think, now. That's all I got for shows. Did you have anything?
That's a couple of shows. A couple things that are coming out. Preacher has been green-lighted for season 2.
Okay.
In fact, it'll be an extended season 2. They'll have more episodes in this one. Van Helsing will be coming out this fall on the Sci-Fi Channel.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
I don't know who's going to play Van Helsing. I didn't read the whole article, but looking forward to that. That'd be nice, because I enjoyed the movie.
Okay.
The movie was awesome. The character itself is pretty darn cool.
Mm-hmm. It's crazy because, and I think this is the same one. For a while back, there was something about Van Helsing I heard about, and I'm like, huh. Like, what can they do nowadays to, like, modernize it, to retell it that it hasn't been done before? And a very, you know, a common thing nowadays is to change certain attributes of that character. Like, you know, make a male a female or female a male or change the race or something like that. And I was thinking, I wonder how it would be to have Van Helsing but be a woman. Like, you know, you can have change her name or something like that or whatever. And I thought about this a while back. I was like, huh, that would be kind of cool. Almost like Buffy, but more, like... historic and set in a different time period. And I'm almost certain this is the show. They actually have the main character, Van Helsing, I'm almost certain, is a female now.
Really?
So I think so, yeah. Because Sci-Fi Channel, I'm pretty sure this is the one. If not, it could be some other Van Helsing thing. But I'm almost certain that that's what it is. If not, I could be wrong. Just crazy that I had the same idea, and they came out with it.
All right, this is an article on, I'm looking at Sci-Fi.
Mm-hmm.
Sci-Fi has unleashed the first promo art for the upcoming Supernatural TV series, Van Helsing. The 13-episode series from acclaimed filmmaker Neil LaBute will focus on Vanessa Helsing, True Blood's Kelly Overton, the latest in a long line of famed monster hunters. The series will feature an intriguing twist on the Dracula story, with Vanessa being resurrected in a future in which vampires rule the world, discovering that she holds a mysterious power over them, bloodsuckers that is. Vanessa must lead what's left of humanity against the vamps in a post-rising world. So.
Okay. Yeah. That is crazy, because you have those ideas. Yep, you see the image right there, yeah. You have those ideas, and then, like, you don't do anything with them, and somebody else does it, and boom, it's done. So, Vanessa, yeah, I was thinking about that. I was trying to think of a way to kind of, like, what do you call it? Like, hide the name a little more, where it's, like, Van is, like, maybe the middle name, or it's part of the first name. Like Elvania, I don't know, but it's cool to see that, you know, my idea is a good idea with somebody else's.
You always have good ideas, Ryan.
Yes, thank you. Is that all you got for shows?
That's all I got for shows.
That's all I got as well. Well, let's move on to another nerd thing, science and technology.
Okay.
I'll cover my thing real quick, and then I think you talked about how you have something.
Yep.
For me, it might be kind of old news. I'm looking into it, and I'm freaking excited about it, but it's going to take a minute to get it because it's kind of expensive. A new gaming laptop called Razer Blade. You know, it's a line of laptops that have come out by actually a company, Razer. And they've been making accessories, you know, headphones, mice, keyboards, all the good stuff for gaming for PCs. Then finally they're like, you know what, let's make a computer. So they've done it. Several years ago they did it, and it's kind of picking up. And then this one is like the top tier. I think it's like 14-inch. It's top of the line. Like, literally you can't do any better specs. I had a friend of mine try to argue with me about it, and I'm like, well, if you can build one better, do so. Get back with me. And yeah, he still hasn't got back with me. So, so yeah, I mean, it really is. It's super lightweight. It's like 3 or 4 pounds, if even that. You know, Usually they're like 9 or 10 for a lap, you know, for gaming PC. Super high definition screen. I think it's only like 14 or 15 inches, but you know, if you want portability, that's the best route to go. And it's actually in an aluminum casing, so it's a little bit more sturdy than plastic, which is kind of what I like because I have cats, and cats are the worst because they've tackled onto my laptop several times. So my screen kind of goes in and out, but that's just one of the benefits of this now. So, and this guy, Thunderbolt connector, 3.0, USB, like, it's literally top of the line. I'm freaking excited about it. It came out 4 or 5 months ago, if even that, but it's about $2,000 for the smallest model. Yeah.
Cheapers, Batman.
Yeah, the cheapest model is $2,000, so... Definitely got some saving up to do. Definitely have some magic cards I'm going to be selling off. So, yeah, that's just one of the things that I was thinking about technology-wise. And this, I mean, review after review after review talking about how great it is. And if you want something portable and you don't mind the 14-inch screen, some people want 17-inch screens, but 14's fine. If I want something portable, that's what I will use.
Bigger is not always better.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I mean, I have a 47-inch television right now that I have my PC connected to, so I have a nice big screen. Now, portability wise, it makes sense to get smaller screen, which is not too bad. So.
Yeah, I guess my laptop is old.
Yeah,
and I took it to work the other day. I had my IT guy put a program on it so I can access my computer at work because I'm not going to be in work next week. I'm
yes.
be out of town.
Yeah,
and he fires it up. He says Windows XP. He goes, "Are you kidding me?" I'm like, no, you just change it. Like, no, don't change it. It works fine. I like it.
Yeah.
I don't use that often, but I like it. It works. Don't screw with it. Just add the program I need so I can log in. Like, all right.
Was he wanting to, like, upgrade it to Windows 10 or something?
He thought I could get 7 on there.
Okay, 7.
Windows
okay.
7.
Okay.
Like, no, XP's fine. He's like, you can't get any more updates. I'm like, I don't need any updates. It works.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to solve cancer and you know, rule the universe with it. I just use it occasionally.
Yeah.
So, anyway, sorry, go ahead.
No, yeah. That's all I got. So, definitely, if you guys have the money, looking to spend about that much for a gaming laptop, definitely check out Razer Blade. They have a website. I'm trying to look for more retailers for it, because if there's more people selling it, it's more competitive. The pricing can go down a little bit, but really, it's just them, unfortunately. So, hopefully, here soon it'll kind of be released a bit more. But what's really cool about it, neat little thing, is that you got the laptop down the road here in a few months or so. There's actually what they call the core. So you can hook this up to another addition to it, big thing. It's almost like a modem, I think. Or something. I don't know. It's something you connect it with, and it actually like soups it up even more. So if you want to use it as a desktop, you can. And it makes it, again, super top of the line even compared to PCs. So it's top of the line compared to laptops, but PC, like, you're still going to get really good ones out there. So, and I think that's trying to bridge that gap. If you want to take that laptop, you add this, I don't know, I think it's $300, maybe $400 core thing. It soups it up. So, yep, that's all I got, at least for technology.
Well, let me drop one on science. So, the planet Jupiter.
Yes.
Planet Jupiter. Where does the name Jupiter come from?
I believe it's Roman mythology?
Very good, very good, very good.
It's one of the Roman gods.
Yep. And the Roman god, his wife was Juno.
Juno, okay, yeah.
Juno. Also his sister, but that's a whole other story.
Yeah, that happens a lot with the Greek and Roman gods.
So Jupiter, Juno, his wife, Juno would cloud himself, he would hide himself with clouds, and that way his wife couldn't see what he was up to, the mischief he was up to. But his wife could see through the clouds. Now, the reason I tell you this, you know why I tell you this?
No.
Because tomorrow, 4th of July,
yeah,
the satellite spacecraft Juno reaches Jupiter.
Okay.
And this satellite will be circling Jupiter pole to pole. So it'll go from top pole to bottom pole and back and around. It's like around the equator.
Yeah.
From east to west, if you will, it's going north to south. Whether or not north to south exists on Jupiter, I have no idea.
Yeah.
But that's what it's going to be doing. This satellite was launched September of 2011. It's going to arrive 7/4/16. Jupiter was the Roman god of sky and lightning. Juno is his wife. The satellite is going to be studying the magnetic poles, magnetic influences of Jupiter, the gravitational forces. It's going to try to figure out how it was formed, because we know very little about Jupiter.
Yeah, it's kind of, you know, far out there.
We don't even know how big the core is of it, or how, if the land.
Yeah.
You know, is this one big cloud to the core? No, we really don't know. So that's going to be studying Jupiter. It takes, if I remember this correctly, it takes 14 days to do one orbit. And long story short, it's going to burn up into reentry of Jupiter in February of 2018. They've decided that that's the time they need to study it all, get all the readings they can. They're going to study the solar winds of attaching to the radiation. They're going to study all that stuff. And it's going to burn up into reentry. It's going to give readings as it's crashing into reentry. But they want it to burn up entirely so it doesn't affect the planet itself with organic or, you know, stuff that's not from Jupiter. And they don't want it crashing into one of the moons, affecting that. So I thought it was pretty interesting, the whole, the name Juno.
Yeah,
is,
yeah,
directly related to, I remember Juno from, it was an old email system years ago.
Yes, yeah. Juno. Bell South and Juno, Juno.net, yeah.
So, and the last thing I have about this, there is a plaque of Galileo, a little picture of him with a little paragraph that he wrote about when he was studying the moons of Jupiter. It's only 7.5 centimeters big plaque, but it's a little picture of him, a little writing on there. Also, there are 3 Legos on the satellite. Now, the Legos are made out of aluminum, so is the plaque, because of the whole radiation and the trip through space. So, they made them out of aluminum instead of plastic, but there's a figure of Jupiter, and he's holding a lightning bolt. There's a figure of Juno holding a magnifying glass. And then there's a figure of Galileo holding a telescope.
Interesting.
It is. It's a shame it's going to burn up. It's going to, yeah, be gone. But I thought that was pretty cool. Well, that's all I got.
That's all I got as well. But definitely, yes, always, always and forever. Check us out on Facebook. Give us a like. you know, and definitely send us a message. Leave us a comment, definitely. Share the things. Let us know. Let others know about us. It'd be great.
Yeah. Look us up on iTunes and give us a ranking, please.
Yeah, comment. Leave us a comment. Let us know. We definitely love feedback. Definitely love hearing from you guys. You know, all that good stuff.
Tell us what you want. Need some more input from you guys.
Yes, definitely. And Podomatic, of course, too. That's mainly where we post right now. We might be looking into something else down the road, but definitely Podomatic. Subscribe to us. We would love it. We would love it, love it, love it.
Well, this is Nick signing off for Ryan. Go forth and do great things.